Hello gamers and welcome to Game Warp. I'm your host always, Edward Jones, and joining me of course is my sister from another mister, Miss Kim Lowe.
Hello.
Tonight we are talking about Tell Me Why, the latest offering from Don't Nod Entertainment, because it's apparently law on the show that we cover every single release that Don't Nod put out. Especially if it's a, I mean, how do we describe this game? Is it a graphic adventure? Narrative adventure game?
It's a narrative adventure game, I would say. You know, like, kind of choice-driven, narrative adventure, episodic, you know, that sort of thing.
The game, of course, is Tell Me Why, which was released last year in around August, September, and is... Tonight we're going to approach it a little differently than the previous Don't Nod games we've done before, where we've covered the whole thing, and at times it felt a little spoilerific. So tonight we're just going to do change things up, and we're looking at the first chapter and just generally give our impressions, and you know, ultimately decide would we want to play on. I think that's the big question hanging over this game, and certainly Don't Nod Entertainment, they've produced some real classics for us, such as Life is Strange, and then more hit and miss titles such as Life is Strange 2, which suffered some real sort of characters and just general plot issues compared to the small town mystery of the first game. So it was kind of interesting to obviously see how this one went, especially as it's received a lot of press in regards to its profiling of the transgender community. But the game itself begins in 2005 in the Alaskan town of Delios Crossing, where Tyler confesses to killing his mother, Marianne, in self-defense, and is subsequently sent to the juvenile detention center in Fireweed. Meanwhile, his sister is adopted by the local police chief, and 10 years later, the two reunite to... set about closing up their mother's house. However, in this time, Ollie has since transitioned to a male and changed his name to Tyler. And the two are basically, over the course of this game, try to make sense of what happened on that night, as well as recounting childhood memories as they uncover the secrets hidden within this small town. So, opening thoughts on this one, Kim, because, I mean, I thought this was a real sort of surprise and kind of a return to form for Don't Nod, especially in terms of the narrative adventures.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Tell Me Why, I think it's, I mean, at least based on the first episode, it was pretty engaging. I think in many ways you can still see the little Life is Strange, those kind of prints on it, because these twins, I would guess. They're twins, right? Yeah. The twins, they have this connection between them, which they call the voice, which they can telepathically talk to each other. And at the same time, as they're going through these houses, they're starting to see these visions, which is helping them remember the scenes that are going on. And they can see each other's visions, pretty much. Which eventually helps them piece back, obviously, at the end of the episode, we're still piecing together what happened that night. And as we start to see those flashbacks and what went on, you know, there's an idea about what kind of brings them closer and might actually pull them apart at the same time, right?
Definitely so, and it's the bond between the twins that is a real sort of focus of this adventure, as the choices that you make are ultimately going to bring the twins closer together or pull them apart. How this will sort of spin off into the more than like the multiple ending points that Don't Nod like to include with these games is yet to be obviously revealed, and certainly as we continue to play the game, I think that would become a lot more clear. But certainly within this first chapter, we are faced with a choice where we have to choose whether we choose to follow Marianne's recollection of a series of events, or we follow Tyler's.
Allison?
Sorry, yes, we have to choose between Allison's memories of an event, or we choose Tyler's. And depending on the choice you make, will obviously have this impact on the relationship, much like many of the choices you will make within the game. And it's kind of fun, just this bond that you have between these twins. It's quite unlike anything that we've seen in the previous games before, because it's not like the older brother younger brother sort of relationship that we saw in Life is Strange 2. It's not the, you know, the how can we say it, the high school sort of friendship that we saw in the original Life is Strange, and obviously the romantic undertones of that game as well. So the fact that you've got these two twins who've been brought up with kind of, from what we gather, very sort of free-spirited mother, until sort of like towards the end of her life, where it seems that she suffered some sort of incident which sort of sent her a little off the rails. And as such, that they've created this world where they were these goblin twins who went on these adventures based around the world around them. And they've got this like whole books you can read on their little ventures that they made. Mm-hmm. They've little wood carvings you can collect as the collectible in this one, because in previous ones, in the first game, we had the Polaroids, then we had the etchings in Life is Strange 2, and now we get little wooden collectibles, which I have to say are really kind of cool to collect. One of the few collectibles I don't mind hunting around for.
Mm. I think it's really charming. I mean, the Book of Goblins that they put together is really quite amazing, because if you go through it, there are, I think, what, like, I've never counted it, but there's, like, over 10, 15 stories that they put together, right? And it's all, like, and it's really nice because it's all typed up, so you can actually just read it off of the book. And they have these, like, cute little drawings, and that links to, you know, one of the few puzzles that are in the story, which unlocks the mother's door, which is kind of a key piece to, I mean, figuring out, I guess, a little bit more about the mother, Marianne. Because I guess in the end, they're not really sure on their mother's stance of what happened, because to them, their memory is felt like the mom had tried to attack Tyler, and he believed that it was because of the transgender situation of his that she might not be accepting to it or whatnot. And this is what kind of sparks them, these memories in the house that they revisit, that really brings them back to really try to explore a little further about what actually happened that night and what happened to their mother, which led to that night.
Oh, definitely so. And I think this idea, this fantasy world that these twins have been living in, which they growing up in, I think it's still perfectly suited to this Alaskan environment, because it's all kind of like a very rural sort of setting, and it's typical, isn't it? It's like the sort of the house you go in, and it's like I wish I lived in this house is so cool, I love the layout and all the little rooms and stuff. I just like spend so much time just wandering around this house, and it's so beautifully designed. Even like when you have to enter and you have to go in through underneath the house, like the whole passageway that you're sort of following under there, there's so many little minute details. You find little dens and things that they're in there, and it's just this real sort of attention to detail that just really sort of helps bring this world to life. And even when you arrive at the property, that you can spend so much time sort of like going around the property, and you can go like down to the lake, and you can see the boathouse and the shed and all these little sort of details and stuff. So it feels a very real sort of world. Mm-hmm. And you can see how you can connect with these characters and how they created this sort of fantasy world for themselves. And it's only sort of further reinforced, if not enriched, by these memory flashes that you get. And I just, as I said, I just felt this was like one of the more immersive worlds that we've seen from Don't Nod Entertainment. And certainly something I had a problem with Life is Strange 2. I just had no connection to this world. I didn't like these characters, and everything just felt like a real sort of slog. But with here, it just felt like I just could not spend enough time in this world. I was just like going around looking at little details and stuff. And even like when you look at the photos and stuff, and it's just random bits of information, it still helps in your mind build up this world. It never feels like sort of wasted information.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the attention to detail even starts more in the beginning, and that really highlights, because I think one of the best things that really pulled me into the game at the beginning was taking that ferry ride basically with their car to Delos Crossing, which is this little town in Alaska that their home is situated. And as you're on the boat, you can actually look out and they make this scenery so beautiful of Alaska. And Alaska is amazing country to be in. And the scenery and all that, you get to stand on the railings, and as you chat, your character can look, and there's like look, and there's like interactive points for you to kind of notice as you're going through, which I think is really, really cool, because it kind of brings the whole area around you to life. And it's one of those things that, you know, I feel like we really appreciated in in Life is Strange, right? When yeah. Don't Nod created that world where everything just feels so alive, where the world that these people are living in is also so key to not just to the characters themselves. And that's exactly what I think I really like about Tell Me Why, is it really brings back that heart that they had in Life is Strange when they created that story. And there's still kind of a bit of kind of maybe the whole magic element to it, because you right now you don't know whether these memory flashes or the voice is part of maybe an ability that they have, because it seems like that's something that they really like to inject into their stories, whether we're talking about, you know, Captain Spirit or Max's ability to turn back time in Life is Strange. There's these, you know, key abilities that they have. And, I mean, the story itself, it feels like it could be very heavy. But at the same time, you know, they add kind of this investigative nature to it. You're investigating something that's happening, and it kind of pulls you closer to the characters, because it is really intriguing the way they're executing it and what you can find and every single thing you can open and you can go through. And you know, I think it's just done really, really well.
Oh, definitely. So I know that when we first sort of mentioned about this game, and there was this whole sort of like real sort of emphasis on the fact that this is the first transgender playable character that's been put up by any major studio, I was like, oh great, we're just gonna have like this whole game is just gonna be like one big lecture on like transgender rights and that. And it's sort of like, while it's an important topic, it's not something that you really want to beat your audience over the head with. Mm-hmm. So I was so glad that how they handled it, so that it's a we have a transgender character here, but it's not the whole focus of the story here. And I think that's what I really, really liked about it. I think it's handled really well. I mean, you have characters obviously deal with the fact that with Tyler, he's returning to this town. I mean, he left a girl and he's returned a boy, and just how different characters react to it, such as so you got like Tessa, who works at the local store, who was like the mum's best friend, and you get like little flashes of her and like her personal agenda. There's like her other friend who threatens you with a shotgun because he thinks you're breaking into the house. But yeah, you got Sam, who's like, as I said, he struggles with the idea of, you know, the fact that Tyler's going through this sort of transition while he's obviously been away and stuff. So I like the fact that it addresses the issue, but at the same time, it's not just the main focus. The main focus is, like, as we said before, it's this small town mystery, and this is just like one piece of the puzzle. And I think that's a really interesting way of approaching the subject, really. Mm-hmm. Because certainly we've seen other games which just like address things such as like mental health and you know, loss, and they do it in a very sort of direct and heavy on way where they make it the main focus here. And I think that would not have been the correct course to take for this particular story they're telling. And I think that what by trying to do the small town mystery thing again, I think it's just the best move for Don't Nod Entertainment, I think. And especially when you've got a world that's so engrossing as this, I think it would be doing a disservice if you're not doing something with this world. So I appreciate the fact it's all set in the one setting rather than just the road trip setting we had with Life is Strange 2. It just seemed like you would go to a location and it just felt very sort of, you know, sketched out. It never felt like it ever had the sort of depth that we get when we look at Delios Crossing. So I'm really excited just to see what else is in this town, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, there is a, you know, there is a really gentle hand that's taken here. I mean, in general, I really do like, you know, like you said, the transgender thing. It's really done well to kind of, I think that was what was our main worry, right? And kind of, I think, in some ways, why this episode got postponed, other than the fact that time is also kind of crazy at times. But, I mean, you know, it's nice that, you know, Tyler gets this. I really like the fact that how every time he meets someone, they have a different reaction to him. And it kind of uses this kind of maybe small town mentality of people who are more probably more traditional in the sense that when they meet a transgender, you know, man, how do they approach it, and how do, you know, the terms they use, how to do that. And I think in many ways, with the world where, you know, LGBT is such a term that is growing and growing in all kinds of ways, it's kind of important to have this as a stepping stone to kind of educate people at the same time about, you know, what's the right term for certain things. Because I feel like, you know, when we talk about Sam's character, it's really not that he's bothered by it so much as he just doesn't know the terms and knows better because he's in this town. And I think that that kind of encapsulates a part of the population, of the general population outside even of Alaska, who could be, you know, learning as they're kind of teaching the people around them, oh, you know, Tyler coming back and whatnot, about just how to address this issue properly. At the same time, I mean, it's going to be, I feel like it's going to be a bigger talk probably further in the series and in the game as, you know, we move through the other two episodes where we're going to finally be able to see whether their mom was really really having an issue with the transgender situation and ended up just destroying her in a sense that caused her to, you know, do that. But I mean, I doubt that that's the situation. I'm sure there's probably a lot behind what's going through, because, you know, we had hints of Marianne being you know, drinking and maybe an alcoholic, and at the same time maybe having some kind of mental breakdown, which are all things that bring up. And I think that, you know, the first episode being set the way that it is leaves enough questions to be intriguing for, you know, to carry on and see what else they discover.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely that that point where it's sort of like they enter the house and it's all like all this sort of childhood nostalgia, and then they enter into their mother's room, and then it's sort of like this real sort of switch, because they discover, like, one of her first big secrets, the fact that she's got the book on parenting advice for raising a transgender child, and at the same time she's also got the leaflet for the gay conversion camp as well. So there's a real sort of line there, and you've got that, obviously, that small town sort of thinking mentality where, you know, it's not something that they're used to dealing with, like, compared to, like, obviously this is a big city where these things are a little more common. It's not something that potentially is like a, you know, a religious issue, which certainly it seems to be for Tessa. And I mean, that Tessa's obviously being one of our first big characters that we see in this game, and it also gives us one of the most clumsy moments in the game, and the fact that you go in her office and she's there doing paperwork or whatever, and you're free to just go on her computer and rifle for her stuff. It's a real RPG moment where you just go and rifle with her stuff and they don't seem to care.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if yours got queued, but mine, when I went onto the computer, the character asked her whether it's okay to search up something on the computer. And then she's okay, sure.
No, I don't know if it had an error in mine, but she didn't say anything. She just goes to the
computer. And then when I went into the cabinet, she was like, oh, are you looking for something? So yeah, but every single time, like, Tessa would address me, and then I'd have to give her, and then the character, or I would have a cue to address and like to answer her type of thing.
Oh yeah, she said, are you looking for something? And then you, for your actions, you can read through her personal diary of, like, money that she's loaned out, and you're thinking you would be doing this in front of someone, just like rifling through her stuff, you know, reading her personal diary. But no, that's fine. But I mean, that's a minor thing, and there is a We also get a fetch quest in here as well, which thankfully wasn't as irritating as Before the Storm, where you had to set a table and whatnot. And just when you're gathering things around the store, I don't know if it's going to come into play, the choices that I make, whether those scented tea lights are going to play badly and I should have got the non-scented ones and I got the wrong cleaner. I don't know, but this is the exciting fetch quest you get, and at least you get some character interaction as you do it. So.
Yeah, I think it was actually kind of charming, because you while you are picking up these things, you know, it seems like you're going for a grocery run, but at the same time you're having this conversation with Tyler, and it's all in the sense of trying to burn some time so that they can wait for Tessa to get there, and it cues up these memories, right? And this store itself has what, like, 3 memories, and kind of brings in this other element of them playing music that triggers their kind of emotions and that lets them see more. I didn't experiment it, but when they said whether, I don't know if you did it, but I didn't try to see whether I could trigger up more memories if, say, like, you could ask the guy to play the music again. Because I don't know if there was like some kind of timed element to how this is supposed to work.
I only had him play the music once, and I went straight around to see Tessa, and
yeah,
that once I sort of gathered all the clues and whatnot from around the store. I mean, the getting the clues to Tessa was a real head scratcher, I have to say. There's a couple of decent puzzles, it has to be said, in finding it, with like finding all the information you're supposed to confront with, but then at the same time you still expect you to remember everything that you've read. It doesn't like give you this sort of leeway where it automatically puts it all in place. You have to remember, like, oh, on this date she did this, yeah. And he went to this camp.
I didn't realize either, so I based it all on memory, and I was really lucky because I got it right. Like, I had kind of like a memory about, like, I kind of had an, I was like, okay, well, I feel like, yeah, this was what I read. And then I was like, okay, well, that was the answer. And then I ended up getting where I was able to get her through the entire process, where she eventually told the situation, right? Told the truth.
Yes. I think I messed up one. I think I messed up the date, so I didn't get the achievement point for that. So, and I also lost my patience with the door and broke that as well. So... Not been the best detective case so far.
The door one, if you look at the reading thing, it's actually pretty, like, for me, I think it was pretty direct. I ended up getting on my second try, because the first try I reversed the first and third, and then I looked at it again and I was like, oh, okay, I flipped it back, and then it made sense.
It dawned on me after I broke the door what I should have done. So I was like, oh, so what you did there. But yeah, there are some fun puzzles here, like you can hack the police computer and things like that, which is an interesting quest, but it feels at the same time like a lot of legwork to get some of these puzzles solved.
I didn't do the computer though. I looked at it and I was like, and I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, where can I find someone's ID and password, right? And then I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I couldn't remember. And then I was like, okay, well, forget it. I'm just going to go and trigger whatever.
You know, you got to get the keys, go to the locker to get the password, and then you got to take the key back because you're sure that's going to come back on you, to then go and find some other piece of information.
No, that was the thing, was that the key in the first time, it wasn't triggered, right?
Yeah, you got to go when you...
Yeah, you have to go to the computer and then you go back to the key, I would guess.
There's a number of these items where it will acknowledge that something's there, but until you find what it's going to be needed for, it won't allow you to pick up an item, unlike, you know, the old point and click adventures where you just pick up everything and then you find a problem and then throw everything at the problem until something sticks. No, this one, the way that they've done the game is that you have to like find where you're going to need the item, then you go back. And then you can pick up the items, then go back again. And it's really annoying, the fact you've got no run option. You have to walk everywhere, and it's just, oh my god. You would be forgiven for taking shortcuts with some of these puzzles, just like to cut down on walking time. But especially if you've got deadlines to get these things done by, so. Mm. But yeah, I mean, as I said, just in this first chapter, I mean, we meet some interesting characters. I mean, as I said, I'm really interested to see how some of these characters play into more. You've got little small town details, like you've got the upcoming election. And when I saw the snowman outside the convenience store, I was very disappointed I couldn't destroy it. I think that's the Captain Spirit gameplay right there, because we had great fun destroying the snowman in that one. So I was like, oh great, we get to destroy another snowman, but no, you don't. So, but yeah, I'm really, there's characters I'm really interested to see how they develop over this, whether they're going to play bigger parts. And certainly from just like, I mean, we only really visit about four different locations here. We've got the house, and we've got the general store, and we've got the police station. But at the same time, this small town is slowly being unveiled, and I'm really interested to, you get hints of like fishing holes and other bits that you may hopefully get to explore a bit later. So I'm really interested to see what else this town has to offer. But certainly in the, as the two characters you're following here, Allison and Tyler, I think they're really engaging leads, and the fact you get to switch back and forth between them as the game decides, you don't personally get to choose, I think helps the story flow, especially. But no matter which character you're with, it's still fun to play. I mean, they both have got sort of different outlooks on life, but then neither of them are like a grind to sort of play as, which I really sort of appreciated, because normally when you have like two characters, one of them's like a little less fun to play than the other. Or they just have like some horrible hindering sort of like mechanic to their gameplay. Such as like the fact that, you know, like in Spider-Man where you get to play as Miles, but you can only do sneak quests. And it's just, you just end up hating that character in there, so. But yeah, I'm just really interested to see how their relationship grows a bit. Certainly from the start here, I think both August Aiden Black and Erica Lindback do really great jobs with the voice work, and just really convincing me the fact that these two are actual siblings, which is never an easy thing to say the least. So
For sure. I mean they're not, you know, like they are really good characters, and you can tell that there's, I think that in this situation, while, you know, I feel like we play as Tyler maybe a little bit more as of, you know, episode one, but I feel like there's a lot of things that Allison is hiding, because, you know, there's this, you know, question about why she's in such a rush to move to Juno. And then there's also a, you know, the question of, you know, her adoptive father, the police chief, Eddie. And he seems to know something, because he's not, you know, obviously he's not like just telling, showing them the file for Marianne's death. And, you know, that kind of brings up questions whether there was something a little bit more to the case or not. But, you know, obviously, as we go through, we're going to, I think the most intriguing thing is what's going on with Marianne, especially with, you know, that after episode scene where we kind of see a character from that they dreamed up in their story, the Moon Hag or whatever it's called.
Okay.
That seems to be kind of just in the background, and it kind of makes you wonder whether the world they've created and what this character is linked to, is it an actual person that it's linked to, or is it a part of their imagination, or is this world something that kind of is kind of meshed with their family? Because I feel like that's kind of stretching it a little, though. But, you know, we are playing a video game, so I don't know. Because, I mean, it also brings into the question why Marianne would use their Book of Goblins story to create the puzzle on their door, on her door. Because I think that it's not like the mom created the book. I feel like it was they created this book, right? Yeah. For the Book of Goblins. So why would she use it for her own door? And I think that these little things kind of emphasize that Marianne was this mother who was a lot more open-minded, and, you know, from the information that people are saying as well, than they give her credit for, which also leads to, you know, why she would do what she, you know, why they would assume that, she, you know, what she was doing that night, pretty much. So, you know, I think it brings up at the end of the episode enough questions for you to kind of be intrigued continue playing, and how this world that they've created, being these goblin characters when they were young, comes into play with their actual life. Is it, you know, I don't know. It's I feel like it has me really intrigued.
Definitely so, and I think this is something that's been missing for the last couple of Don't Nod Entertainment games, where you get to the end of the chapter and you just want to see what happens next. And I found that in the original Life is Strange, I was really sort of hooked to see what happened next, and not so much with the ones which followed, where I found myself kind of exhausted by the time I got to the end of a chapter. And yeah, this one's actually one of the shorter ones. I mean, there's only 3 episodes of in this game, sure, so yeah. Hopefully it means it's going to be a pretty tight story, because especially with Life is Strange 2, there was some serious fatigue in that game. In certain chapters, it just felt like, oh my god, we're just still going here. And I hope that we don't have another campfire scene where we have to sit around and just listen to people for like 40 minutes, because that would do me in.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like it's gonna get better, because I mean, if you look at kind of some of the descriptions of the games and stuff, the game is supposed to explore the Tinglet, I don't know if that's how you say it, Tinglet culture.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting when that comes into play as well, how this all fits into the story, because they're really utilizing that area of Alaska and even the culture, I guess, behind the people there to kind of build their story. And it's not just about, obviously, it's not just about the transgender or the traditional thinking of people or religion or whatever, but there seems like there's a lot more elements that's going to come into play as we go along, and I mean, I'm definitely interested to continue seeing what the next two episodes are gonna be about, and how this kind of wraps up, and what type of, you know, different ending choices they're gonna have.
Definitely so. I'm really interested to see how this story goes, so I'm definitely interested to play on as well. So I guess that answers our question of whether we would continue playing, and I think the answer is unquestionably yes, that we would. They've certainly crafted here a story that's very intriguing to to be involved in, and certainly one that sort of makes you sort of very keen to see what happens next, which is always a good thing to see. So, yeah, I mean, that was obviously the first chapter of Tell Me Why that we looked at tonight, Homecoming. The full, all 3 chapters are available now, and it's also available through Steam as well. So, game well worth your time, and worth discovering, even if you haven't played any of the other Don't Nod Entertainment games. I think this one's still a really good one to start with, so.
Well, yeah, and I think, and you know, as an additional note, I mean, they did win the Games for Impact for the Game Awards, which, you know, I think, you know, after playing the first episode, I can see where they're coming from, and you know, at least I haven't played any. I don't remember playing any of the other games in the list, but so far, I think this is a pretty decent story that does this whole transgender and having a bigger story surrounding. Just, you know, a lot more than just the transgender story, but still bringing in that element really well.
So that brings us to the end of another exciting episode of Game Warp. Thank you as always for listening. If you want to check out our archive, you can do it at gamewarpblog.wordpress.com, where we've got all our reviews, we've got previous episodes on there as well, and other fun bits of reading on there as well. If you like movies, also you can listen to both myself and Kim break down director filmographies over on our film podcast, Movies and Tea, which you can check out, Movies and Tea Podcast at wordpress.com, where each season we pick a director who worked through their filmography and break down the themes and ideas of within their filmography, as well as other fun writing that we also post on there, including our Friday Film Club. So you can check all that out there. If you haven't done already, please do hit the like and subscribe button, as it all helps raise the profile of the show, and maybe leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the show, as that really helps as well. But thank you as always for listening. Thank you to my co-host Kim, and we will be back again soon. But until then, keep gaming.